Started at ready.gov/older adults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now.
800-575-9047.
Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call
800-575-9047. That's 800-575-9047.
Tax Relief Advocates, real solutions for real people.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Hours after his arrest in New York City, federal prosecutors outlining charges against hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs, including racketeering conspiracy, sex trafficking, forced labor, and kidnapping. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams accusing Combs of preying on young women and men and coercing them to perform sex acts.
The indictment alleges that between at least 2008 and the present, Combs abused, threatened, and coerced victims to fulfill his sexual desires, protect his reputation, and conceal his conduct.
Combs's attorneys say he's innocent. Today is National Voter Registration Day, with Election Day now less than 2 months away. Kamala Harris speaking in Philadelphia this hour. Former President Trump in Michigan later, his first appearance since Sunday's assassination attempt. In Lebanon, at least 9 people have died after pager devices exploded, 2,700 others injured. Hezbollah blaming Israel. Israel, though, has not commented. The U.S. says it was not involved and is investigating. This is ABC. Retail sales ticked up 0.1% from July to August. Online retailers, sporting goods stores, and home and garden stores all reporting higher sales. Venezuela's president speaking out on the alleged foreign attempt to assassinate him.
Speaking on his weekly talk show, Nicolas Maduro discussed for the first time the purported foiling of an assassination plot in the arrest of a group of foreigners. 3 Americans, 2 Spaniards, and a Czech citizen were arrested over the weekend. Maduro's interior minister claims those in detention, including, he says, a Navy SEAL, were part of a CIA-led plot to overthrow the Venezuelan government and kill several members of its leadership. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
Staffers at Amazon have been told they need to return to the office 5 days per week. Workers were previously told they needed to work in the office 3 days a week. The new rules take effect in January. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone, and it's free.
I love free, and I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants, I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Enrollment at the universities of Wisconsin this fall increased by more than 1,000 students overall.
That includes higher enrollment at 8 system universities, according to preliminary estimates based on first-day student counts. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman said the increase comes despite severe challenges caused by the disruptive rollout of a new free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA, financial form, and a lack of funding for the Wisconsin tuition promise. promise. Rothman said closure of several branch campuses also likely had an impact. Enrollment is up by 1,058 students, with official counts to be released later this fall based on the 10th day of enrollment. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A new survey finds Wisconsin's child care industry is significantly understaffed.
The State Department of Children and Families Child Care Supply and Demand Survey shows nearly 60% of providers have unutilized capacity, such as closed classrooms, due to staff shortages. Providers would be able to serve up to 33,000 more kids if operating at full capacity. DCF Secretary Jeff Pirtle says payment cuts through the state's Child Care Counts program have had a ripple effect on the child care workforce. Governor Tony Evers included Child Care Counts funding to make the program permanent as part of his most recent budget proposal, but Republicans in the state legislature cut that. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Vice President Kamala Harris is headed back to Wisconsin.
The Harris campaign on Monday announced that the vice president will hold a rally Friday evening in Madison. An exact time and location have not yet been released. This will be Harris's fourth trip to the state since she launched her bid for the White House in July. This will be her second stop this year in Madison. Harris was in Madison back in March and visited a home on Madison's far west side where she lived as a child in the late 60s. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another hot and sunny one today, with high temperatures soaring to the upper 80s. The high heat and plenty of sunshine holds tight for tomorrow, too, as showers and thunderstorms start to push in overnight and into our Thursday. Chances return Thursday night and into our Friday morning with a wet weekend ahead. For severe weather stories, radar, and live storm chasing, visit severestudios.com. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
The wheat market was mixed, with corn and soybean prices slightly higher. The soy product markets were mixed, with bean oil higher and bean meal lower. Buyers came back to the livestock markets, with the cattle complex and lean hog futures all trading solidly to the upside.
Live! It looks to me like the market's working on posting a classic double Brian. Via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. You know what? I also want to be called Brian. It's me, Handsome News Brian. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Lowry. You know, with me calling myself Handsome News Brian, what we've done here is completed a bri-fecta, is what we've got going.
Bri-fecta. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Try Bri.
Yep,
try Bri.
not a double Brian low. Okay.
My bad.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Oh, good grief. Davis. Yeah. What a day in the markets. A lot of chopping around to end up not going a whole, without going very far at all.
Yeah.
In the grain markets, but boy, the buyers came back into the livestock trade.
Yeah.
Live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hogs all solidly higher today. We're going to cover all of that with Brian Grady, the editor at Pro Farmer. Looking forward to that. And Brian Split has got some chart analysis coming our way on the bean market and everything that's happening there. Man. 85 degrees, dude.
Whoa. It's only 86 here. You are living plus or minus 1 degree Kansas City weather right now.
Living in the tropics of the Midwest, right?
The Midwestern
here
subtropics,
in,
absolutely.
In northeast Iowa. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And the sun's going to stick around. We've got, we're almost to the high of the day, but we've got more mid-80s coming right through the end of the week with lots of sun. That's probably going to put an end to the growing season for a lot of corn and soybean crops out there. We'll get Brian Grady's take on that and what it might mean for the WASDs coming up here in just a little bit. All right, lots of news to get to. Let's go ahead and get started.
Well, Chip, December soft red winter wheat futures traded on both sides of 580 for a fifth consecutive session. Today's close below that pivotal level suggests a test of support at last week's low of 560 and a half. December spring wheat futures posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a mid-range close. That suggests more stability in the spring wheat market. Uncertainty over the impacts of drought on corn and wheat crops in the Black Sea region should limit selling pressure on futures, but the willingness of Russia to undercut world prices is an anchor on the entire wheat complex. Yeah. December HRW wheat futures a half penny lower, 580. December SRW wheat down 2¾ cents to 575¾. December spring wheat closed at 621. That's up a penny and a quarter, Chip.
Yeah, if you missed it, I had a conversation with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource this morning about the European and Russian wheat crop, and of course the Ukraine wheat crop as well. I had that conversation this morning on the show, and he's kind of scratching his head trying to figure out why Russia is doing what they're doing with their wheat pricing as well, because there's room to the upside, but they're just locked in at a low level and trying to move as much as they possibly can.
Yeah. Well, December corn futures posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a high range close. Chart watchers put resistance in December corn at the September 6 high of 416, with support at last Thursday's spike low of 397. USDA says 65% of the corn was rated good to excellent as of September 15. That's up a point from the previous week. Corn rated very poor to very poor was steady at 12%. Despite the slight improvement, many crop watchers are concerned about the dry finish to the growing season. December corn futures 1¾ higher, 412½. March corn up 1½ to 430¾. July corn futures close at 448, up 1½ cents, Chip.
Yeah, that dry finish, it's going to be interesting once more and more guys get in the field and start harvesting some corn, get some combine reports rolling in. We'll have a better idea of just how the dry finish is impacting our final yields.
Well, Chip, soybean crop conditions weekend at Sept 15, 64% good to excellent. That's down a point from the previous week. Beans rated poor to very poor were up 1 point to 11%. Bean traders also note dry conditions in Brazil, where growers have parked planters as they wait on a rain before putting seed in the ground. Soybean oil futures followed crude oil to the upside. Bean oil prices are also finding support from increased efforts to push more of the product into renewable diesel production here and in Brazil. November soybean futures posted a narrow inside trading day with a low range open and a mid-range close. Support in Novi beans around 10 bucks. Resistance around that 1025 level. November beans today a penny and a half higher at 1006. Jan beans up 1¼ to 1024¾. March beans closed at 1039¼, up 1¼ cents, Chip.
Yeah, December bean meal today down $2.30 a ton. December bean oil up 77 points.
Well, Chip, the U.S. cotton crop on September 15 was rated 39% good to excellent. That's down a point from the previous week, and 26% poor to very poor, down 2 points from the previous week. These cotton today, 66 points lower at 72.16. On your livestocks, buyers rolled back into the cattle complex. Front month fats opened low range and dipped to test support at yesterday's low before moving to close high range on the highest level since September 4. October fats were $1.57½ higher, 178.80. October feeders $1.75 higher, 240.75. October lean hogs opened slightly higher on session lows and rallied to close near session highs, highest since Sept 3. October hogs today $1.85 higher, 81.77½, Chip.
All right, thank you very much. Let's bring in Brian Split, AgMarket.net. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Chip. What you up to?
Well, I'm just trying to get through the show. Thanks for helping out last week. Appreciate that.
No problem at all. I always enjoy.
All right. Yeah, awesome, awesome. Give me a story on soybeans. What's going on?
Big coil right now. So if you really look back to where we are and where we were, let's say, September 6th, I mean, we're effectively the same price. That's 11 days later. So we really haven't gone anywhere, but we've done a couple things in the meantime. We have a failure last Friday at the 50-day moving average. That was at 1021 that day. We have a failure the previous Friday at the 50-day moving average, and that was at 1031 that day. Now, below the market, we have lows that were made last week, 995 and three quarters, 995 and a half, 997 and a quarter. Those were the 2 days leading in front of the report and then the day of the report. And we have the 20-day at 996 and three quarters. So you've got 20-day right at last week's lows. You've got that 50-day running along the downtrend from the highs that were made a couple weeks ago. This market is consolidating right now. It's coiling up. It's going to make a move. And I think you got to go with it if it gets above the 50-day or if it gets below the 20-day. And right now, I don't know which side to pick. I'm going to let the market tell me.
Yeah. When we get to times like this and the market seems to be at a crossroads, sometimes it makes more sense to be reactive rather than predictive in how the market is going to or in how you're going to trade a market, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're at that point where, there's nothing you could have done today that you couldn't have done yesterday or the day before that, right? I mean, we're essentially in the same price. So I want the market to tell me which direction to go. I'm not going to try and use my own biases.
That's good. Good stuff. All right, Brian, thank you so much. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thanks, Chip. Catch you later.
You bet. Brian Split, agmarket.net. Okay, the finish on this crop. The planting season down in South America. We've talked about it earlier today on AgriTalk. We're going to continue the conversation with Brian Grady, editor, Pro Farmer, next.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They are engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit firestoneag.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The possible farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
We don't make the news. We render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. It's Tuesday afternoon already, Davis. Here we are.
Yeah.
And
finally Tuesday.
Finally Tuesday.
Oh. Yeah.
Brian Grady is the editor of Pro Farmer, and he joins us right now. Brian, and I should mention, Brian joins us every weekday morning for the morning hour, the AM hour of AgriTalk, and we talk for a couple of minutes about what's going on in the markets. But we love it when we get Brian on here in the afternoon and extend that conversation. How you doing, buddy?
Great, Chip. Couldn't be better.
Good. Good, good. Caught any rains lately or no?
No. I'm trying to think. We did get one unexpected one last week, I believe it was. It didn't turn into too much, but anyway, it was kind of unexpected. But now it's hot and dry here. It looks like about 87 and pretty bright sunshine. So kind of a dry finish to the growing season.
Okay. Well, we were talking about the dry finish to the growing season. And this period that we've had in the last couple of months has been one of the driest on record. Yet, as of September 1, USDA found another half a bushel for that national average corn yield. Does that make sense to you?
The expectation was that it would go down. Obviously, we anticipated it would go down based on our the Pro Farmer estimate after crop tour. And so I still think that we probably will see yields decline. It's keep in mind how, this is based, USDA's estimates based mostly on ear counts at this point in time. And right. Then there's some implied ear weights and those types of things. They would be record large, the ear weights would be at the moment. And so do we have record ear weights? Probably not. We did measure a lot of or sample a lot of very heavy corn on crop tour, but I don't think that they're record weights. So I anticipate that'll come down. We know history tells us that the ear counts come down from September forward. So once USDA gets in the fields, the ear numbers don't go up. They go down. And so, if you have your ear counts coming down and your, implied ear weights, and which will eventually become ear weights, those coming down as well, that would mean your yield would come down. And so, yield comes down, your production comes down as well. And that's the trend we expect to see as we move forward here from the next survey-based estimate in October through the final in January.
Okay. So I know this is one of my favorite things to do, and I know you do it too. You look at the current conditions, try to find a similar year in history of crop tour. Find a similar year and try to use that for some kind of guidance on what it might mean for how this for what the yield trend is going to be into the end of the year. Have you found that year that?
Yeah, not specifically a year, but the poorer finish. I think you can go back and look at the years when there's a poorer finish and what typically happens, and you do tend to see yields go down and production decline. You just didn't have the recipe for building a big yield is to slow cook it after you get through pollination and allow weight to build, and we haven't had that. The crop has shut down in many cases just a lot quicker than what was anticipated. And so you're probably not going to have the types of yields that you once could have had. The yield potential out there was really big at one point in time and just declining from there. I still think we end up with pretty easily a record in all honesty.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it's just not going to be as big as what it could have been, and we could have had one for the ages at one point in time.
Yeah. So this morning on the show I mentioned a year, 2010, okay? That was a really, really bad finish for the crop. So I said that I would go back and look at just a couple of data points on that and give us an idea of how bad of a finish it was in 2010. Well, in August of 2010, the national average corn yield was put at 165, and the crop was at 13.365 billion bushels. In the annual production summary, 152.8 and at 12.447, off like more than 900 million bushels from August to the final. Different time, different hybrids, different management, different. I get it. But that's the kind of thing that we need to pay attention to, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a disastrous finish. Let's keep in mind the corn crop did a lot of work up front. It built a really big and record yield potential. So we're taking some off the top end. We're not, this isn't, I don't think, a disastrous finish. It could be individually for some producers. Definitely.
Sure.
I think that's, in the realm of possibilities, but as a whole, I don't think so. And the other thing is, like, the way you hear some of this on social media is like, it's just a disaster. And this is the worst finish ever and those types of things. And I get it when you're sitting there looking at your crop and it was, the greatest thing ever. And now it isn't that. That's what it feels like. USDA wouldn't have went up on its yield if it was the worst thing ever. Everything has to be in perspective here. It's a big crop. It's a big yield. It's going to be a record yield. It's just a matter of how much we take off the top end.
So just taking something off the top end, is that enough to influence the carryover estimates on corn? I guess what I'm saying is demand strong enough domestically in the feed and residual, domestically in the food, seed, and industrial use, and then on the export side of things, is corn demand solid enough that if we do take even 100 million bushels off the crop, that would have to come off a carryover?
Well, yeah, and it would. I mean, about two thirds of it would come off, and third would be, you'd lose a third in of that residual in demand. Yeah. So, I think that the key thing I think is that we look at the new crop ending stocks, and they were down, month over month. They were down. So we're sitting at 2.057 billion bushels, according to USDA, with its projection as of September. And if you start lopping off some of that, now you're going to be under that psychological 2 billion bushel mark. Now you got to get under probably 1.8 for the market to really start paying attention. Psychologically, to have carryover under 2 billion bushels wouldn't hurt at all.
Okay. All right. Talking about a crop that had fantastic potential earlier and is leaving a lot of question marks out there for me right now is that bean crop. Talk to me about your thoughts there.
Yeah. So, as poor as the finish has been for corn, it's probably been more so, damaging for the soybean crop. A lot of those top pods just aren't going to have the moisture. We're facing some moisture stress, some heat stress here late in the season and those types of things. Now, some of the double crop beans will be helped by this late season hurricane activity that's coming up through the Delta and Mid-South and into the far southern Corn Belt. So some of those double crop beans could be helped from that still. But the crop isn't going to finish the way that it normally would. This is a subpar finish for soybeans, definitely.
Yep. Same kind of story or question there on the balance sheets then. Is it enough to make a difference?
On beans, 550 million bushels. Now, that was down 10 million bushels from where it was, what USDA had projected in August. But, man, you got to take a lot off of 550 for the market to get excited about that. So the better set of fundamentals go to corn, no doubt about that. It's a much tougher road, I think, for soybeans. You'd have to cut 550 in half, basically, to get the market really excited. And that doesn't mean that we can't rally because funds are still short and you could pop the market and stuff like that. It just means that long, sustained price rallies probably aren't going to come about unless we have some kind of crop real crop issue in South America. Just means you're going to have to be more diligent in selling price strength, and you can't get wrapped up if the market gives you 50 cents. You can't get wrapped up in, oh, I want 75 or I'm not going to pull the trigger. You probably need to pull the trigger at 50 cents type of deal. You know, just be more diligent in terms of marketing.
Exactly. All right, good stuff there, Brian. We're going to continue that conversation because I want to get into the South American situation. It's dry down there. They've put the brakes on planting. What does it mean? Is it bullish for corn, for soybeans, for both? What's your take?
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page of ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were a half penny lower at 580. December SRW wheat down 2¾ cents to 575¾. December corn futures 1¾ higher, 412½. March corn was up 1½ cents to 430¾. November soybean futures a penny and a half higher at 1006 even. January beans up 1¼ cents to 1024¾. December cotton, 66 points lower at 72.16. On your livestock, October fat cattle, $1.57.5 higher at 178.80. October feeder futures, $1.75 higher at 240.75. October lean hog futures today, $1.85 higher at 81.77½. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Experience all things electric during the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event with Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls North Hall. There'll be an EV showcase, test drive of electric vehicles, an EV roundtable discussion, electric tools demonstration, kids games, and more. Food and refreshments will be available. It's the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls with Pierce Pepin Co-op Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another hot and sunny one today, with high temperatures soaring to the upper 80s. The high heat and plenty of sunshine holds tight for tomorrow, too, as showers and thunderstorms start to push in overnight and into our Thursday. Chances return Thursday night and into our Friday morning with a wet weekend ahead. For severe weather stories, radar, and live storm chasing, visit severestudios.com. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
Expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk
Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back. We're in the middle of a conversation with Brian Grady, editor at Pro Farmer. Beej, to wrap up the conversation on the crops, when the crop tour was done and Pro Farmer put out its national average corn yield and soybean yield estimates, the midpoint of a plus or minus 1% range on corn was 181.1. It sounds to me like you're sticking with that.
Yeah, I feel comfortable there. I don't know if it'll get all the way down that far, but I think it's going to trend in that direction.
Okay. Midpoint of a 2% plus or minus range on soybeans for the national average bean yield, 54.9. Sounds like you want to move that to the low end of that range.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, we didn't, the weather basically from crop tour on, we had great weather during crop tour. Soil moisture ratings were higher than they have been across the states. And from that point forward, though, it's been hot and dry and just not the finish that, you would expect.
And the crop tour had really, really good pod counts. But that really didn't show up in USDA's number because, as you said, the yield is in the pod weight, not so much the pod counts, right?
Yeah, and the pod numbers will go up. I mean, every year but one. Yep. 2011 is the only year the pod numbers went down from September forward. So even in 2012, the drought year, the pod numbers increased. So pod numbers will go up. But history also tells us the implied pod weight will come down, and I think that the pod weights will come down more than offsetting the increase in number of pods.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Talk to me about Brazil. What's going on?
So the whole La Nina deal is looming out there, and we're not into La Nina. We might have some La Nina-like weather, and I think that if La Nina develops, the question is when and how strong it is and how long it lasts. And so that's probably the key thing for Brazil. Right now, it's dry, and they're off to a slow start with their plantings and stuff like that. But it's a long planting season. So I wouldn't get too wrapped up as we sit here on September 17th and talk about this and Brazil's got problems, because if you do, you're probably going to be disappointed.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes.
It could develop into something, but yeah. I wouldn't be pushing a lot of chips to the middle of the table on this one that it would develop. Weather does crazy things, and we're a long way away from the finish of the growing season in Brazil.
Okay. So there's a lot of dots to connect on this one, but I'm going to try. So you're right. It is a huge, wide planting season for the soybean crop and for the growing season. A lot of time there. But the longer that we delay plantings, the longer we delay harvest, or they delay harvest, and if the longer the bean harvest is delayed, the further planting of the winter corn crop, the safrinha corn crop, is delayed, and they can't do that because, I mean, their dry season is as predictable as their wet season, which right now is a little bit delayed. But what I'm saying is it's a corn issue as much as it's a bean issue, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And because the safrinha crop accounts for about 3/4 of their total production. And so it is a big deal. If that, all those variables that you said come into play. So what we know now is that the planting season probably isn't going to be real rapid, which means that the harvest season isn't going to be real rapid, which means there could be delays for the safrinha corn planting, which means that we could end up, pollinating that crop after the rainy season ends, and definitely potentially fill in the crop after the rainy season ends. So, you can kind of stack it up there, and I would say that there probably is more risk to the corn crop, second corn crop down in Brazil than there is to soybeans at this point in time. Yeah. And they haven't even thought about it. I mean, they're just starting to plant the full season corn at the moment.
Right. Yeah, crazy, man. Crazy how you got to connect all those dots. But it is absolutely accurate to go through that exercise and understand exactly what it might mean. Okay, your attitude, I heard you say it earlier on beans. If you get some strength in here, strength is something that needs to be sold, corn and soybeans.
Absolutely. I think corn has a better set of fundamentals. It has a better case that if we do start lopping off bushels that, it has a stronger set of fundamentals. But I'm still a seller of corn on any kind of a extended price rally. And by extended, I mean, 20 plus cents. If you get, more than 50 cents in the corn market at this point in time, I think it's an extreme gift. Keep in mind there was a fair amount of corn. We'll know more about this at the end of September in the September 1 stocks report at the end of the month here. But there was a fair amount of that old crop corn supply carried into the new crop marketing year. And, we have a big supply coming. It's not as big as what we once thought it was on the new crop side, but it's big. And so you got a lot of bushels that need to move. And as a result, there's a lot of competition. That's how I would look at it. Me as an individual farmer has a lot of competition from farmer B, C, D, E, F down the line that wants to sell price strength. And so that can kind of hold back some of those rallies in some cases. Now, we've seen it happen. The speculative money flow is probably as important as any fundamental in the marketplace. If the funds decide that they want to flip from sellers to buyers, then you're going to be rewarded with a period of price strength.
Yeah. Okay. Let's make the jump over to cattle. And when I say cattle, I'm kind of talking the economy as well. Because the buyers came storming back into the cattle complex here today. What's going on?
They've really narrowed up the discounts. So we've been trading at huge discounts to the cash market for quite some time. And what we saw is that the cash market strengthened last week, so it broke a six-week string of declines. But we've really narrowed that up, the discount structure in the futures. I think that probably the most important thing that I see is when I look at the cattle market, I'm looking at the October contract. It finished today at 178.80. The December contract finished at 179.85. So there's not much premium there. Then you go out to the February at 181. Not much more premium there. So there isn't a whole lot of premium structure as you move out through those deferred contracts. And so that's something I think to keep in mind. I think the cattle market is setting up for some kind of rally through the end of the year and maybe into early 2025. I don't know if we'll get all the way back to the highs in the futures and or the cash, but I think we're setting up for some kind of rally here over the next several months.
Does demand surprise you for beef?
Well, you look at the retail prices and you would say, boy, I just bet the consumer's backing off. And the numbers that we've seen is the consumer in general is probably turning to more hamburger. But what we've seen more so, I think, is that restaurant sales probably aren't as strong and the consumer is going to the grocery store and purchasing more product there to cook at home. And you can tie that all the way back to COVID because they didn't really have a choice. No restaurants were open, so they had to learn how to cook again. And we went through at least one, if not multiple generations, where they lost focus on how to cook. And they figured out, hey, you know what? I can do a pretty decent job. So, why am I going to a restaurant if I don't need to? And so the economic situation right now, I think it has forced the consumer to go to the grocery store and maybe instead of switching completely to a hamburger economy, they are buying steaks at the grocery store instead of the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Fed meeting is this week. Is it a quarter? Is it a half? Or do you think they'll follow the counsel of Elizabeth Warren and go with three quarters?
The last one is a no. No way in God's green earth do they cut by 75 basis points. There would be extreme uprising at that point in time.
Yeah.
I don't see that as even being on the table. That's crazy talk type of stuff to me. 25 or 50, I don't know. I've kind of gone back and forth on those. My gut feeling is they'll dip their toe in the water and go with 25. And then the next one, if they need to, might be 50, which gets you to the 75, but it doesn't do it in September. I don't think you want to start with a 50 basis point cut. Just my gut feeling on that.
Okay.
Have no way of knowing but just
I had, I like. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit this morning with Vince Malanga on the show. So in other words, we talked about it a lot, and he's thinking that it's a quarter, the outside chance at a half. And we talked a little bit about Elizabeth and her request for a three-quarter point. Davis and I did at the end of the show. Well, I got a message after the show that said that Elizabeth Warren calling for a three-quarter point cut gives Powell the cover to go for a half point. And said, you know what, let's go ahead and lock that in. Well, it's an interesting theory on that, but we'll just have to wait until tomorrow, about 24 hours, and we'll have the answer to it. Beej, thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
You bet, you Chip. Thanks.
You bet. Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady.
I'm at the movies. Asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Man, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I got my together.
I got my together.
I got my together.
Just say it. You can get your shots together too. Your COVID-19 shot and your flu shot at the same visit as recommended by the CDC.
I got my shots together.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both.
Are you getting your together?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its head-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Here, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, What's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
I love the Army. You just have this brotherhood that you can't find anywhere else. Since coming home from war, I've tried so many different things. I just remember thinking, like, it's over.
After being forced to medically retire, Angie battled addiction to prescription medications, eventually losing her house and marriage. Then she found Wounded Warrior Project.
And so I went online, I signed up, and I knew that Wounded Warrior Project was definitely my new community. One of the staff members, she put me in for peer mentor training. It was like for the first time someone recognized something good about me and thought that I had something to give back to someone else. Are you doing okay otherwise?
I've kind of picked up woodworking with my grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
So
I saw 3D stuff.
All those activities gave me a new way to live without drugs, a new way to live without feeling like I'm broken. You can live a meaningful life after traumatic experiences.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
I taught for 20 years until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson here, along with Chip Flory. You know what? And Big Apple Joe Stackler. The whole gang's here. You know, let me go back to this really quick before we move on to other matters. The podcast taping, since you asked, went very, very well.
Oh!
Today.
Excellent.
Here's the setup. I won't give it all away, but here's the setup, dude. In about 2015, they're out there in Michigan, corn, wheat, and beans, and the market wasn't doing what they wanted to, and they decided, heck with it, we're going all ancient grains. Wow. We're going all specialty crops. We're done.
Wow.
That's it. That's it. That's all I'm going to tell you. But that's what they did, man. They
all
went
cold ancient grains.
Turkey. Oh, it was crazy. Yes, quite the tale. Quite the tale. The Grow Getters podcast is unmissable, people. You gotta check it out. Like
it.
And subscribe once you get there. But it went really fun. There was, you know, there were some songs. We winked at John Denver, little James
nice.
Taylor. It was
nice.
Definitely worth a look.
Can't wait.
But that's not what we're here to talk about.
Okay.
I want to talk about something that Brian Split said right from the jump, because I'm a little confused on what he means. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this, but clarify what it means when Brian Split says soybeans are in a big coil right now.
Oh, okay. Okay, so think about spring.
Okay.
All right.
Water coming up out of the earth. It's delicious. Cold?
No. Huh? A metal spring.
Oh, a spring.
Like on a trampoline.
Like a slinky.
Right? Okay. All right.
But not.
It's compressed from the bottom because support is lifting. It's compressed from the top because resistance is declining. The longer you stay in that sideways trading range, or even today with another inside day on the daily chart, that coils that spring even tighter. So you got the 50-day providing resistance on the top. You got the 20-day moving average providing support on the bottom. The move above the 50-day or below the 20-day is going to release that spring and potentially start the next trending move.
With a fair amount of pent-up, hopefully, momentum in tow there,
Here's the thing.
As long as it's to the upside, that's what we're hoping for.
Well, sure, to the upside, yeah. And that's that brings me to the next thing that was interesting that Split said. Let the market tell you which way it wants to go. Bro, you and me have been doing this long enough. I could ballpark which way the average producer wants the market to go.
Yes.
We can't let that get in the way of reality, though, can we?
No. No, and sometimes you need to be reactive. Other times it's okay to be predictive. And in other words, what I mean, as a matter of fact, you should almost always be predictive to a certain extent and have an attitude about what you think is going to happen in the markets, an educated attitude about what's going to happen in the markets. That's one of the reasons we're doing what we do every day.
For sure.
Now, but what that means is you also have to take some action on that by putting price orders above the market at levels that make sense for you to sell some corn and soybeans and wheat and cotton and cattle and hogs and just keep on going down the list. Have those price orders in place so that if the markets do rise up and touch it quickly, your sell orders will be triggered and you can make some sales. I'm not saying sell everything like that, but have the orders in place so that you are selling something. That is a predictive attitude with some action attached to it. It's very important. Very important.
Yeah.
There are other times that when a market starts to make a move, you just got to react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, failure to go up on good news and to close below the 20-day moving average in beans right now might be a bit concerning. Mm-hmm. Might be the kind of thing that would tell the funds to get back fully loaded on the short side of the market heading into harvest. Yeah. So watch for that kind of stuff. Sometimes you got to be predictive. Sometimes you've got to be reactive.
Case in point, Brian Grady doesn't expect a whole lot of long rallies to come by in the bean market, especially his comment, be diligent with selling those beans.
Yep, yep. Have your price orders in place. Make sure that that you are getting to an adequately sold level on price strength. You've got to make the moves. Listen, and if you can maintain some flexibility just by simply being willing to reopen upside price potential with either a futures position or a call position or some sort of a call spread that will get you back on board a rally, at least with price, okay? Once you make a cash sale, your basis is locked. That we know, but you can still add to price with either a futures or an options position later.
Okay, just one more thing. Let's go to Brazil. That their window is wide open down there, but Paraná River's getting a little thirsty from what I hear. As is the mighty Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Couple of stories to keep an eye on there.
Things are moving slowly on the Mississippi. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with the Paraná, but we've seen that happen.
They got reduced draft, yeah.
Reduced draft. It's the same thing that's happening on the Mississippi then, because
yes, sir.
I'm telling you that can turn into some real issues for us down the road. There might be some relief in the 6 to 10 day outlook for that. We've still got above normal temperatures expected over most of the country for September 23rd through the 27th. But on the precip side, above normal precip expected over the entire Corn Belt. Now, not huge odds of above normal, but still, it looks like that wetter pattern is coming in. Let's jump out to the 8 to 14 day real quick. This is for September 25th to October 1.
Whoa!
Holy smokes! That's above normal temperatures over all of the lower 48. All of the lower 48, and the below normal precipitation comes rolling back into the Midwest. Wow. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We're going to be talking farm safety and have a farmer forum here on AgriTalk.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Insurance program from the Hartford. Well, if you're age 50 or over, you can save hundreds when you switch. Are you ready for some exclusive discounts too? Phone's in the air now. We're gonna sign you up, baby. Go to visithartfordauto.com today for your free quote.
When you're with the Hartford, the Bucks got your back. Provided by Hartford Fire Insurance Company.